It's The Scratch with Joe Weston and Mike the Intern.
It's been too long, sir.
Yeah, it has been. Over a month. Yeah.
No, I've been too busy. Spring, getting us down.
Mowing the lawn.
Working too much.
Yeah.
Working
not
in the yard.
Not getting to talk about music.
Not getting to talk about music, but listening to music none the same. So what are we talking about today, sir?
Well, I wanted to talk about how music affects you, affects your mood.
Ooh, okay. It's a good timely thing, too, because it's nice outside and, you know, driving home, sun setting, hear that perfect song.
Everything
just becomes magic.
Yeah.
Right?
At the right time, at the right moment, how music... You know, I find music is the kind of thing that just enhances your life to have so much of it. There's so much great music right now. There's so many different things going on, so many different styles and types of music, but it's just really great when you hear something at a given moment that just fits perfectly with whatever situation you're in. But I was going to ask you, is there any time that you're like, just randomly, you're listening to music, you're not listening to anything in particular, you're not... you know, doing driven type of listening where you go, oh, I'm going to put on this album, but you're just sitting listening to stuff random and something comes on and it instantly affects you in some way.
So 2 weeks ago, I was in Kansas City for my cousin's wedding. And in Kansas City, in Power and Light, they have these things called birds. And basically what they are these little tiny motorized scooters.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the app and then you set up your payment and then you find one. They're randomly all over the place and they self-recharge and stuff. And then you basically get on it, start it up, and it's yours for as long as you want. And they time you, but I think they charge you by the hour or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like mid-afternoon. My wife wanted to get ready. It takes me 10 minutes to get ready for the wedding. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go get on one of them birds and go ride around. Well, earlier in the day, I was in Josie's. And one of the chicks that works there knows me and knows that I'm a big soul guy and I love soul music. And a band I'd kind of knew about, but I wasn't really into, it's called Duran Jones and the Indications. And their first record was good, but I wasn't like super, like, this has blown me away, right? And then while I was in there that Saturday morning, she knew, I guess she did it for my benefit, but she put their new record on, which just came out in March. It's called American Love Call. Buy it. It is a soul masterpiece. I mean, I put it up there with any of the good stuff that Al Green did. I put it up there with What's Going On, Talking Book, all that stuff. When it comes to soul records, this is a masterpiece. And so here I am. I just got that record. And they give you the little digital card. So I downloaded it, put it on my phone. Got on one of those birds and then just took off into Power and Light, driving down the square, whatever. The fourth song on that record is called Court of Love. And the drummer from the band is this little tiny white dude. He's got one of those really high falsetto, like Temptation voices.
Yeah.
And it is, in my mind, I'm riding around this and every time I hear this song, it'll always take me back to this. It just hit me. I'm driving around. Perfect day. It's gorgeous outside. And I just, everything just stopped around me. Does that make sense? Like
yeah.
I could see, it was just, that's to me, that's magic. I people use the term magic as, you know, something from Harry Potter where you can make things levitate and I could turn you into a dragon or whatever. I think magic is a term that should also be used for things like that. You know, when you feel that connection to your surroundings and what's going on in your mind internally and it becomes together, I think that's true magic. You know, when your two guys are able to converse about music and make it work, I think that's magic. You know?
Spiritual, yeah, spiritual high.
Spiritual, it's the same thing.
You feel magic really connected.
Yeah, yeah.
So at that moment,
that's probably the first most recent example I could give you. But yeah, I mean, my brain, the way my brain works is it's always writing, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
writing code, if you will. So when I find new music or I find music or I return to new music, it always, especially if the outside things are working right or everything's good, it'll always write itself new code. And so I'm always taken back to that emotion when I hear it.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Sometimes I'll hear something and it'll just, like yesterday I heard a Father John Misty song called Bored in the USA. And I thought, man, that song really like nails kind of my feeling, you know, at the moment, just what he's talking about in the song. And it just really kind of stirred me. And I've only heard the song once, but it's kind of stuck with me. And something that you and I have talked about lately, Charles Bradley, who's a guy I just recently...
Screaming Eagle of Soul.
Just recently kind of got myself in touch with. I'd seen his name a lot, but I hadn't paid much attention to it. And then I listened to a song called Changes, which is a Black Sabbath song that he covered. And the guy that played it said this, and he said, I think one day people will go, this is a Charles Bradley song that was originally done by Black Sabbath. Yeah. And it's just an amazing song. Yeah. And it just, while I'm not going through the experience that he goes through in the song, he makes you feel it. He takes you to that spot. And that is something magical or spiritual. Mm-hmm. Whenever an artist can take you someplace that you're not, and bring you to that spot, and you can feel it, and you're there. It just makes you feel so connected with that person, and that's such a great feeling.
I don't remember. I think it was in Seinfeld, and Kramer. It was when he goes to L.A. and he's backstage at a shoot, and he's acting like he's the big shot, sitting in the director's chair, and he's talking about how he memorizes lines in color. He doesn't memorize the lines. He memorizes them color, yellow, blue, red, green. And it's a joke. It's funny. It's supposed to be facetious. But that's how I almost identify music, is I don't see it. Sometimes I don't really start to analyze anything. I would rather experience and then analyze. And I think sometimes with artists I love and things, when they're bringing out new records, I have to force myself to not overanalyze and just let myself experience. And that's easier said than done. I'm looking at you fans of Game of Thrones that are bitching about every episode. You are completely cutting yourself off at the knees by not allowing yourself to experience it first and then analyze it later.
Yeah.
Sure, there's always going to be mistakes. Sure, there's always going to be things. But if you can just see it for what the color it brings to you, I think you're going to have a way better experience going forward. Now, trash is trash, and sometimes bands put out bad records, and bands do stuff that you're just like not into. This is whatever. But it's just going back to Game of Thrones. I think there's so many people that have sat through this show. I know we're getting off music, but you sat through the show for so long, 10 years, and now they're getting the last season and they're rushing through the end, but you're missing out on the experience because you want to overanalyze everything, and you're just completely killing yourself from that. Tomorrow, which this will be out, I'm sure, for a while. So there's an artist I really like called Tyler, the Creator. And a couple of years ago, he was with a group called Odd Future. And when they were kids, they'd rap about all kinds of stuff. But the guy is an amazing producer and musician. And I always say, when it comes to hip hop and stuff like that, as long as the musicality is there, I love it. And he put out a record 3 years ago called Flower Boy, and it was a completely left turn from where he was headed. It was more musical. It was produced. There was a message or messages in it, and it was a phenomenal record. And he's releasing one tomorrow called Igor, and it just came out of nowhere. But he has been posting over and over and over again, listen to this front to back, with headphones, no distractions, no cell phones, no forums. Don't be sitting there writing a review while you listen to it. Listen to it as I intended, as an artist wants you to listen to it front to back, so you can hear the work as a collective. And I love that. I mean, that's a young artist right there that knows that's how we're supposed to experience music. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to experience music, but at the same time, you need to experience it and not analyze it.
I think, and again, that we're probably getting way off music here, but I think I've always said to people that, you know, people have these dreams in life. You know, you want to be a musician. I wanted to be a baseball player. I wanted to be a DJ. And we have these dreams in life. I think one of the saddest dreams that people have now these days, and you know, you could say I'm being judgmental about this, is people who want to be critics or a wannabe critic
or influencers. That's
the
word.
Who, you know, like you said, they're writing a review while they're listening to a record. And I remember the guys that I respected as critics, rock critics growing up, Kurt Loder and David Frick are two guys that come to my mind who I, you know, always turn to the reviews. I trusted David Frick implicitly.
I still do.
And when he wrote a review of something, I paid attention to it because
he's a hell of a writer.
He is a hell of a writer,
and adds to it.
I know that he listened to a record 10 times before he ever put pen to paper to say something about music. But that, you know, it's kind of way off topic that where we started at, where we're talking about how music affects you. But there's a question that I wanted to ask you that I wanted to get back around to. And I really think that we could probably have this conversation for a couple of hours, but we're not going to do that. But my question to you is like, I know a lot of people, and I've been guilty of this too, that there would be a song that you tie to a person or a place or a thing that maybe is no longer in your life anymore. And like when it came on, you like fast forwarded or got away from it. Is there anything like that for you?
That's too hard to listen to.
Yeah.
With relationships, no, because you know, as I got older, I'm never big about burning bridges.
Yeah.
Unless there becomes a problem and there's a toxicity involved with it that it needs to be burned. Even if a relationship ends, I don't really like to burn that bridge because ultimately with men or women, you were in love with that person for a while and they left a mark on you, good or bad or indifferent. And you grow because of it and you can't just look back and erase it out of your life. It can't work. It can't work that way because it doesn't help you be who you are. As far as the only songs there's one in particular, when my uncle committed suicide in what year is it? 19, probably 04, 05. And, it was completely out of the blue. And it really affected my dad and obviously my grandparents, and both were still living at the time. And they asked me to play guitar at his service. And so knowing he was a huge Stevie Ray Vaughan fan, I knew that I wanted to do Life by the Drop. That's the one that even now, you know, whenever that come on in, my old friend, that song, oh my God, I well up every fucking time, every single time.
That's funny because one of the songs that I have trouble with is a Stevie Ray Vaughan song.
Yeah. It's just, it ties that, that will always, that day will, I, you know, they always tell you have to grieve eventually. And that was one of those situations where I wasn't really able to because of how it affected my dad and my brother. And I kind of had to be the one to just be the shoulder.
Yeah.
And so, you know, someone's got to keep it together. And unfortunately in that situation, it was me. And so I don't really know if I ever actually got to really grieve over it. I've made peace with it. Obviously it's been so long, but yeah, still to this day, I hear that. And then with my grandmother, when she passed, what's that song? Alone Again, Naturally. I know it's kind of funny, a song, but for some reason, I always think about my grandmother in that song and it always makes me well up. I don't know what it is about that song, but it always makes me think about her. And it's one of those things where it's tough. Depending on the mood, if it comes up in a playlist that I put in or something, it depends on how I'll either reflect or I can't deal with this right now.
I'm welling up right now because I spoke at my grandmother's funeral and there was a song by Wilco that I actually just heard the other day. And the line in it, the song's Hummingbird, the line in it is, "Remember to remember me standing still in your past like a hummingbird." And I used that in her eulogy because when I was a kid, we would sit in her kitchen and have breakfast and she had a hummingbird feeder that sat outside the window and we could see it. And, you know, I feel that it takes me to that place.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not, while it makes me kind of well up, it is also a good feeling too, because it just, you know, it reconnects me with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, which is a good thing too. So, yeah. I mean, that's what music does. For me at least, it's such a connection to so many different things. So,
you know, going back to the critics and criticizing and analyzing stuff. That was something I was going to say, which was, I've always taken advice from people like you, friends, that I can see the emotion behind what they're trying to tell me about the music or film or books or whatever it is, art, that you want me to see. And that's kind of how I approach it with people. Like, oh, you like this? Like when we were at Record Store Day, the funnest thing about that whole day for me was sitting there waiting and talking to those guys in line and saying, what'd you get? And talking about why they did what they did and why they wanted to have what they want. That's what I love about music. And that's the, that is what hopefully that we're able to remain in just like with our grandparents and the connections they made with us. It's the same thing. It's about human connection. And whether that's the musician making a connection with you, whether it's us making a connection about music or vice versa, it's all important. And I think if we're extremely lucky that we're able to be, have that part of our brain that's super active that allows us to tie that stuff together, because there are people in this world that don't have that, that drive around in silence, that just don't have that connection.
Yeah, I've heard of a few people that say, oh, I don't really care for music.
Yeah,
and it's
really,
like, well, that's really kind of a, that's something,
sad,
it's just something
thing.
You just go, wow. You know, and I heard somebody the other day said, and this is an experience that I've had many times, that like you watch a movie or you look at a painting or you look at a sculpture or you read a book or something and you see something or hear something or find something that you didn't see in it before.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reignites this kind of passion in you for things. I mean, there's songs that there was a song the other day, I've listened to that song hundreds of times, and there was something in that song that I just hadn't really paid attention to. I just distilled it down into, you know, the parts. And heard this one thing and I was like, wow, that's really amazing. That's really, you know, or when I'm a big lyric guy. So whenever I hear a lyric that just really touches me, there was a song, a guy by the name of Ian No that I heard the other day. And there was a lyric in a song that he said, you know, on sunny days, sometimes I pretend that it's raining. And I thought, wow, you know, that's something that really speaks to me. I have spent, you know, we talk about this a lot, you know, both of us are collectors and I've spent 40 plus years collecting records. And I've spent almost that entire time too, making mixes for people because it's something that I love. Even if I wasn't a DJ, I would still be making mixes for people because I just love doing that. I love like, here's what I'm listening to, you know, hopefully you'll find something in it that you like. I do it for my wife and it's always disappointing when she comes back and goes, oh, I didn't like this song because I like everything that's on it. But I make some for my friend, Nancy Miller. And she goes, you know, I can always listen to your mixes and tell that there's a theme there. And a lot of times I'm not even aware that I'm doing that.
Yeah.
It's just these,
that's where you're at,
pieces just keep coming in. Mm-hmm. That like out of the, and I'm like you, I'm listening to hundreds of songs a day, not just in classic rock, but so many other types, you know, I'm listening to hip hop. I'm listening to alternative. I'm listening to classic rock that I haven't heard before. The other day we were talking about a Buffalo Springfield song that I hadn't heard. And you were like, I played that for you. And we listened to it again. And I was, you know, blown away to listen to both versions of it. It's so great to go back and even discover music that you didn't hear the first time. And sometimes it's really a shame for some bands like Buffalo Springfield that were great bands and people know for what it's worth. Yeah. And there's other things there to listen to.
Yeah,
you know, there's other great things.
The weird thing about that stuff with Neil Young and Buffalo is I liked Flying on the Ground is Wrong in Buffalo Springfield. And then I liked On the Way Home as well, which are both Neil Young songs. I prefer them the way he did them on his own.
Yeah.
And I just think there's something to say about his ability to make the song what it really is when he just does it by himself. And I know that he likes having a band and all that stuff, but the way that Buffalo Springfield kind of took those songs and made them what they were is indicative of the time, because it feels like that's kind of the sound they were going for. But I don't think that's the way Neil had intended them to be. And it's obvious because that's later on when he did them live, that's the way he would have done it when he said, hey, check this out. You know what I mean? So
I just recently got the single soundtrack. I bought the deluxe edition. I bought the deluxe edition of it, and it came with the CD with the album, and the CD was stuff that was not released for the record. And I'm a huge Paul Westerberg fan, and there's two acoustic songs that he did that are both on the album, Dyslexic Heart and Waiting for Somebody. And I know that he met with Cameron Crowe when they were getting ready to make the movie, and he said, Cameron Crowe said to him, we'd like, you know, you to do a song or two for the soundtrack. And he went to the hotel and he wrote those two songs that night and came back and played them. And I'm pretty sure that one of them is honestly his demo that he did in the hotel room while he was putting the song. And it's such a, you know, it's so nice to hear a stripped down version, to hear the what the artist had in their mind when they were originally putting something together. And that's the type of thing that blows me away. I know the Beatles did the same thing. I mentioned this before. I ran into a couple of people that referred the Beatles as talentless hacks.
Yeah, I don't.
Look
at what they did in 7 years.
But
George was 27 when they broke up.
Yeah.
He was 27 years old after they broke up. Look at the amount of music he made from 20 to 27.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And Lennon and McCartney, what that they did to 20 to 27. And I think about, you know, Help and Hard Day's Night, that they really basically wrote both those songs overnight. You know, there was no kernel there. Somebody said, hey, we're going to do this. And then they went to wherever they went to and wrote those two songs. And, you know, my contention is sometimes you can take one Beatles song, you can take Yesterday, or you can take Revolution or Come Together, and that's a great song. That's going to make top 10 of anybody's list, or top 100 of anybody's list. Let's not, you know, not go crazy, but it's going to make top 100 of anybody's list. And they have at least 10 to 20 of those songs. Easily. And that's what makes them a phenomenal artist. And I love telling the story about John Lennon. Todd Rundgren wrote an article about how the Beatles had no style other than being the Beatles. And John Lennon, in one of his rare moments after he left the Beatles, decided that he would defend the band. And he said, that style encompasses a lot, including everything that you've ever done.
Absolutely. There's no way anything would have existed without
them. And I don't know it's always surprising
for me. I think
it's
just something cheeky for people to say.
Yeah. And I don't know how many artists like, you know, who don't sound like the Beatles, like heavy metal artists or hair bands like J-Likes, you know, Kiss is a perfect example, that when they saw the Beatles, it just turned their life around. So we're way off topic.
Ozzy's favorite band is the Beatles.
Yeah.
And towards like one of the last interviews he did when the Osbournes was going on, I remember him saying, I'm still waiting to make my Sgt. Peppers. He always looked at them as his favorite band, and that's what he wanted to do. Obviously, it's not what he did do.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say in closing is that I was doing a podcast with a veteran I took out to lunch, and he was talking about music, and he goes, you're going to hate me for this, but I really like Nickelback. And I go, you know, when I was a kid, I used to be really, really aggressive about music, what you liked, what you didn't like, and what you knew about the band. I was the type of guy that walked up to you if I saw you had a band shirt on and I knew what that band was about, knew who they were, and I'd say, name me 5 songs that aren't on the Greatest Hits album. You know what I mean? I was that guy. And then if you couldn't answer that question, I'd say, you need to take that shirt off because you're a poser. Now, that's a very asshole thing to say. I was extremely a big asshole in high school for just thinking about that. And what I've come to realize as I've matured and gotten older and gotten, I guess, kinder or wiser, whatever it is, I would never, ever, 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 ever put someone down for whatever they listen to that makes them happy. I don't care if all you listen to are the Kids Bop albums and that's all you listen to, but it puts a smile on your face and it keeps you happy and it makes you feel something. Enjoy those Kids Bop albums, man. That's awesome. I love it. I don't personally like it, but the fact that it makes you happy as a human being on this planet when so many things are out there to make us unhappy, that's magic.
I think I've always said, if it speaks to you, then you don't ever have anything to be ashamed of.
And ever go around and be a jerk and make fun of people for the music they like. And if someone's doing it, just smile and let them go burn their own bridges.
Exactly. And I guess let's wrap up today by saying, go out and listen to something that you have some sort of emotional attachment to. Let it take you to that time or place.
Just don't try to analyze it.
Music's a time machine.
It should be. And we're on a time machine. Out of here.
Bye.